Even the ratty stars and the tacky mirrored ball threw off their own brand of magic, and the place held a slightly frayed enchantment. Rana was definitely princess material. Her dark hair framed eyes the color of champagne. Ron was long and lean and walked with a straight-backed ease. She made my blood pound. I can't wait to see what's going on. Those posters are great, Rana said as we entered the double doors. She referred to the posters that had lined the halls for 2 weeks. Who is the Wolverine? And Homecoming Surprise, Don't Miss It. And The Wolverine Unmasked. The rabble had been buzzing with their guesses and suppositions. There were betting pools with the odds rising and falling as rumor changed and armchair detectives announced their deductions. Rob was on top of the world. His usual roost. In a navy blazer and striped tie, he exuded the aura of a movie star. Young, let's dance. The lights reflected in Rana's eyes. Her short hair made the back of her head seem so vulnerable that I yearned to cup my hand against the soft curve where skull rounds into neck. Instead, I shrugged. Sure, that's what we're here for. She wrinkled her nose, animating the freckles, and drifted into my arms like an indrawn breath. You waited a long time to ask me to this dance. I'm sorry, I murmured into her scented hair. I was worried, waiting for you to make a move. It's a brand new century. Why didn't you ask me? I said. She held up her hand and wiggled her fingers. What do you see? Her nails were chewed to the quick. Those, she said, are evidence that my self-confidence is mostly a fraud. She grinned. I thought I'd end up being the only princess without a date. She pulled back and squinted through her lashes at me. Well? No comment? I drew her back against me. Is that true? Would I lie? What would I have to gain? That one stumped me for a minute. I guess to flatter me, make me like you. But you already do. I laughed outright. Are you sure about the confidence being a fraud? I have self-doubt, but I'm not stupid. You do so like me. She walked her bitten fingertips across my shoulder, then yanked my earlobe. Don't you? You'd better say so, or you'll be missing an ear very soon. She snugged her face against my neck. I smoothed my fingers over her hair and rounded my palm at the base of her head. Yes, I do like you. A lot. I paused a minute, feeling her breath against my throat and her breasts against my chest. But you can have the ear anyway. Consider it a party favor. She giggled. I could make a necklace? Too grisly. Press it in a book, like a flower. She leaned back, mischief making her eyes sparkle. Tell you what, you keep it for me, but it's mine. Nobody else gets to touch it. She kissed her index finger and touched it to my ear. There. You're branded. I own that ear. Rob appeared next to us, cleared his throat, and bowed in imitation of a discreet English butler. The stars dulled. What do you need, Rob? You, compadre. Rana, can I have a word with the steward? I'll just be a minute. Rana sighed dramatically. Well, at least the ear is mine. She grinned. I have to go anyway. They're about to announce the homecoming queen, and I have to put on that stupid ribbon. I watched her sail away. Talk to the journalism drudge and make sure he is where he can get good pictures of glass. I already took care of it, I said. I know I'm being a pain. In the butt, I added. Yep, I know, but I need this to go perfect. I wondered for the 100th time why this was so necessary to Rob. The only thing I could find was that he needed control the way I needed approval. He slapped me lightly on the back. You're the only one I can count on. I talked to the journalism drone again. He gave me a bored look and assured me that he'd do his job. Ms. Connolly and the cheerleading sponsor lined the girls' escorts along one of the white stripes on the floor. The girls stood opposite us, fussing with their banners and whispering to one another frantically. I took my place, next to Lance. He leaned close. Hey, asshole, only reason you're here with Rana is I waited too late to ask her. He smirked at me. Had to give Blair the boot. A senior chick is too old. I looked around. His date was a sophomore. Get 'em young and train 'em right, Lance said. My hands clenched into fists. The lead singer tapped on the microphone. Okay, boys and girls, and even you folks that haven't decided which you are, close your mouths and breathe through your noses. Your hallowed leader is going to come up here and present the best flesh on the hoof in your fair school. Here he is, kiddies, Deputy Dog. He drawled the dog as he spun and gestured with an outstretched hand as he bowed. Only his middle finger was extended. Thanks, Alex, Deputy said. We'll be sure that picture doesn't make the yearbook. Now let's see who will be our homecoming queen. He pulled a piece of paper from his pocket. From the sophomore class, our princesses are Sandy Crenshaw, escorted by junior beau David Wills. Suddenly a trumpet player in the band stood and a ta-da-da-da blared. One of the spotlights swiveled its aim from the ceiling to the double doors at one end of the gym. The drummer began a tattoo, rolling it louder and louder, crashing to a thunderous finale as the gym doors burst open to reveal the Wolverine mascot, complete with the homecoming queen's rhinestone tiara cocked on his oversized head. The Wolverine twirled on one heel, then began a hip-hopping dance from pool of light to pool of light in a path to the center of the gym. He whirled and bowed to clamorous applause. Strutting to the line of awaiting princesses, he bowed to Sandy, took her in his arms, and waltzed her to the stage. Depositing Sandy, the Wolverine dropped to one knee, bent his huge muzzle, kissed her hand, popped up, and sashayed merrily back to the princesses, where he began the giddy ritual again. When all the girls were whirled to the dais, Deputy waited for the applause to die down. The moment is at hand. The Wolverine will present the crown to this year's homecoming queen. Since the results are secret, I'll tell the mascot the name of our winner. Jazzing his way to the front, the Wolverine leaned forward, one paw cupped around his huge pointed ear. When the deputy whispered, the mascot raised his furry arms above his head and clapped, pulled the crown from his head and carried it in front of him like a fragile egg. He stood before each queen candidate and offered the crown, then snatched it away, shaking his head with extreme regret. He did this to every girl, faced the crowd, and gave a hopeless shrug. Back at the microphone, he gestured for the dog to whisper again. The Wolverine nodded and wandered along the stage behind the waiting girls and plunked the tiara on Blair Cruz's head. The crowd applauded, and Rob bent to give Blair the customary kiss. The Wolverine jumped between them, whipped off the big fake head, tossed it aside, grabbed Blair, leaned her back in a movie star pose, and planted a kiss on her surprised mouth. Applause, gasps, cheers, drum beats, trumpet flourishes, and piercing whistles shook the gym. Simon pulled Blair upright. Both blushed crimson. Simon appeared abashed and embarrassed now that the mask was off. Blair adjusted her crown, grabbed Simon, bent him back as he had done her, and kissed him soundly. He stretched out one leg and pointed his furry toes. The roar measured at least a 6 on the Richter scale. The band cranked up and Deputy shouted into the microphone. And now our homecoming queen, Miss Blair Cruz, will dance with the homecoming beau, Rob Haynes. The music pumped up. Rob leaned over to Blair and spoke. She nodded and Rob gestured to Simon, signaling that he should dance with the new queen. Blushing furiously, Glass kissed Blair's hand. Taking her into his arms, he danced her to the center of the gym under the shimmering ball of light. Glass was dancing with a queen under a spotlight, and the crowd approved. It was magic, all right. Pure magic. Chapter 14. Simon Glass was amazing at homecoming. We'd been just kind of being nice to Simon because of Rob, and face it, he was getting more presentable every day. But homecoming, he came into his own. He didn't hang on to Rob's coattails. He took over. Got confidence or pride or something. It was the greatest night. No bad endings. Everybody was happy. Ginger Donaldson. As the evening progressed, Simon danced with all the homecoming nominees. Now that he was Simon Glass rather than the Wolverine, he bumbled and fumbled, but none of the girls seemed to mind. Glass had become the greatest thing since chocolate. "Would you look at him?" Bobster groaned. "I busted my hump teaching him my best moves, and look at him. He dances like his toes are stapled together." "He looked great before," Coop said. "Go figure," Bobster sighed. "But it worked, didn't it? Glass is the belle of the ball." It was true. Simon was congratulated, back slapped, and hands shook as a conquering hero. He nodded and blushed and grinned his thanks, then bumbled his way over to us. "Yo, Glass, you the man," Coop shouted. "Thanks, Coop. Hey, you guys, is this something else?" "Do I get my dance now, Simon?" Rana asked. I started to say something, anything, but Rob elbowed in. "Yeah, Glass, you haven't danced with this princess yet." "I thought I'd leave one uncrippled," Simon said. "Oh, no, you don't. A princess is royalty, and you can't refuse." Rob took Rana's hand and placed it on Glass's elbow. She curtsied and guided him out to the middle of the floor. Placing her hand delicately on his shoulder, standing at arm's length, she nodded gravely while she slid her other hand into his. They moved to the music, but Simon's Wolverine tail tangled between their feet. Rana grabbed the end and held it, occasionally tickling him under the chin with its tip. Feeling like I'd swallowed fish bones, I watched them dance. Rana laughed delightedly when Simon trod on her toes, and he gazed down into her upturned face, chatting and smiling and obviously smitten. When she returned, Rana was exuberant. "Simon is having the time of his life." "So I see." She poked me with her finger. "Don't be that way, young. Simon thinks the world of you." "Lucky me." "Grrr," she growled. "Such a grisly old bear you are. Let Simon have his night. He can have as many nights as he wants as long as he gets his own girlfriend." "The world has gone cuckoo," Rana said. 6 weeks ago, Lance Ansley was popping the elastic on a school whipping boy, and now young Stewart is jealous of Simon Glass. I didn't say anything. "Well, I want to dance with my ear. I guess you'll have to come along." Rana grabbed my hand and tugged me to the dance floor. "Not much way I can refuse an invitation like that." "It wasn't an invitation. It was an order," Rana said, tucking her head under my chin. I stroked her soft cheek. "Story of my life." The dance was over at 1. Rana had to go straight home because she was taking the ACT the next morning. Rana's house was a Victorian reproduction with a rambling wraparound porch, complete with swing. We sat, snuggled like puppies, swaying gently and whispering. "I have to go in," Rana murmured. "Wrong. Young. We both have to get up early. You've got an alarm?" "I need a score of at least 26, and I really want a 30. "You're too ambitious." I nuzzled her earlobe. "Stop that." She hunched her shoulder. "I'm claiming this ear." I nuzzled again. "I think I'll start a collection." "Only a lunatic would want an ear." "Then we're a perfect pair," I said. "Yeah, a perfect pair." She turned her face up to me. "If you don't kiss me, I shall become terribly despondent and fling myself into the nearest body of water." I pointed to the dog's water dish. "Go for it," I said, then paused. "No, I couldn't live with something like that on my conscience." I put one hand on her smooth cheek and one on the sweetly vulnerable nape of her neck. Her mouth was soft, and I could feel her breath warm on my face. I pulled back and looked at her. Her yellow-brown eyes swam before me. I kissed her, and again, and fell off the edge of the world. I picked Coop up at 7:30 the next morning. We drove to the school and staggered into the library. Coop was strung up tight, his face pale. "I gotta get an 18 to qualify," he muttered like a mantra. "An 18, just an 18. I gotta get an 18. "Relax, Coop. "I can't, Young. If I don't get an 18, I don't get a scholarship. I don't get a scholarship, I end up like my dad." "It won't happen. Besides, even if you don't make it this go-around, you can take the test again. Signings are in February. I gotta do it now." The test monitors checked our cards, peered at our driver's licenses, and ushered us in. Two people were allowed at each table. I noticed Rana sitting alone, twisting her hair and gnawing a nail as she read the instructions on the front of her packet. "I'm gonna take one of the carols. Keep me from getting distracted. Okay, Young?" "No problem. Good luck, Coop." I edged over to Rana's table. "Mind some company?" I asked. She looked up and smiled. Company and encouraging words. "Used all those up on Coop." Rana saw Coop squinting at his packet. "Poor guy. He looks like he's going to prison." "Coop's in prison now. He needs an 18 to get out." The test proctor called for quiet, so Rana shot me a quizzical look before slitting the seal on her test booklet. The exam questions couldn't drag my attention away from Rana. When she crossed her long, wraparound legs, well, I reacted appropriately. The proctor's nudge brought me back to reality, and I had to work fast to finish the first section. The other sections of the test I spent in other fantasies. Mostly about those legs. Yet the contradiction of those gnawed nails got their share of my attention, too. Rana finished before the bell and swiveled to check Coop. I could see him, hunched over his booklet, his face pained and his hair rumpled into sweaty clumps. When the final bell rang and the papers were shuffled into stacks for the proctor, Coop rested his forehead against the desk surface, his body language whispering defeat. Finally, he scraped back his chair. "How goes it, Coop?" I asked as we filed out of the library. "That was a bitch and a half," Coop muttered. "I thought learning a playbook was hard." "Let's grab a burger," I offered. "I'll pass," Coop said. "I want to go home." Rana and I traded worried looks. It wasn't like Coop to refuse food. "Can I get a ride?" Rana asked. "Dad dropped me off, so I'm bumming." I'd have carried her on my back over a bed of nails. "Sure, We'll drop Coop off first, if that's okay. She nodded as she linked her arm through Coop's. Come on, big guy. Go with us for a hamburger or a pizza. Coop slouched into the back seat of the car. Can't, Ron. Simon canceled our morning run all week. I'm going to skip lunch and work out. I can't afford to get flabby just because the season is over. The season's only been over since last night, I said. He shrugged and slid lower in the seat. We rode the rest of the way in silence. When I pulled into Coop's driveway, I had to toot the horn to clear my path of the three dogs lazing on the shaded concrete. Are all those your dogs? Rana asked. Yeah. Strays seem to know that I'm a pushover. I think about them wandering around all alone, and next thing you know, they're sleeping on my bed. He opened the door and slumped out. You know,